Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
It is Tuesday night. It is ABCs of Apostleship night. It is Discipling Apostolic Christian night. And, of course, we can't ignore that it is election night. So this is a pivotal time for us in history in many, many ways. It's pivotal for God, pivotal for us, pivotal for saints. And I've been praying all day, and I'm sure you all have too, for the Lord to get the glory. So we'll just continue to press on through. How about that? We'll continue to press on through. I want to talk to you tonight about how to see your God. You know, we really don't know how to see God. We really don't. I pray all the time because I don't realize I'm just realizing how little we know about God. How little? How much do you know about Jesus Christ? Well, I'll tell you, I have found that the battle against our Savior is immense. I mean, it is immense. You know, the second psalm talks about it, and I always like that. I use it for my team a lot. But the second psalm talks about the battle that Jesus Christ faces. And the reason that I want to say it is because we are his body. And anything that comes against Jesus starts with us. And you know why? Because we're his flesh. We're his flesh. So if it comes to him for good, or if it comes against him for evil, it hits us first. You know how many saints actually cry about, why is this happening to me? And, you know, since I got saved and all of that kind of rhetoric that we inherited, it's an inherited rhetoric, it's not written, so it's been passed on. But I want to read this to you because I think it's important for you to recognize Jesus' experience. I had an opportunity to share that with someone this past weekend, and I want to share this with you today as we go on. But I want you to get your Bible or write it down, and then I'm going to go to Psalm 2. But before I do, I'd like to get the work out there. First of all, hi, kids. And kids now get first-time billing. Hi, kids. Glad for all of the youngsters that tune in, and it's so precious. It's precious to my heart. And then I want to say to everybody, we have 1 week. 1 week. Well, a week and a day. So what's that, 8 days? We have a week and a day until our annual Apostolic Summit here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It begins Wednesday. We've been getting some really good feedback and some really brisk registrations. But it begins Wednesday, November 16th, with our Dignitaries Dinner with Ambassador Clive Rivers, who is the founder of the Golden Rule Initiative. He is also the founder of I Change Nations and representative of the Interfaith Council on Peace North American Division. Did I get it right? I got it right. It feels good. If not, trust me, I'll read it, and then I'll get it right next week. But anyway, he is a powerful man, and his mandate is to bring the reality of the golden rule to the world again. So you're going to love hearing how he's been going state to state, making various states golden rule states, which means really a commitment to stopping violence. It really is. It's a commitment to stopping violence. And that's what he does stateside. And then internationally, he does something that's not too different. Hallelujah. Well, he's a great man of God, one of the few people who are in that arena who passionately love Jesus Christ. And so, I know it because I'm talking with him regularly. We're visiting. We're collaborating on various things. I will be traveling the nations with him are you ready? Goodwill Ambassador, with his Golden Rule Initiative, along with his statesmanship project. So he's got a lot going on. If you feel that you have a unique call to God that is not to the pulpit, not to the church, and maybe not to the actual ecclesia, but the kingdom, you don't want to miss this man. You don't, and we just found out He could stay with us all weekend.
Yeah.
You know, I was so excited. I had prayed for that. So it starts Wednesday night, the dignitaries dinner. Then Thursday morning, we kick it off. And the rest of our speakers, myself, Apostle Edgar Gonzalez out of Puerto Rico, and also Apostle Stephen Holt out of Portland, Oregon. As you can see, it's meaty. Now, if you say I'm conferenced out, great, then this is the place to come because we don't do conferences. Yay! We don't do conferences. If you look at my stuff, you have rarely heard me over the years use even the phrase conference because we don't do it. Because, frankly, we have conferences where we don't confer. We don't confer with each other. We don't confer anything upon each other. We don't have them, don't even confer with the Holy Ghost. So I don't do conferences because I think if we're going to call it that, we need to be conferring something somewhere, something else to happen. So we don't have that. What I do have is an annual summit, and I love it. And then, of course, in June, we have our prophetic event. So we're going to have a blast this time as the premise is where we are and taking the lead. Where we are, what we face, and taking the lead. And it is not a conference. It is truly, truly a summit where we get together and deal with all kinds of issues that affect you and the body of Christ, that affect the body of Christ, that will reverberate on you. So that's important. So we start November 16th. We end Saturday afternoon. And then we all go out to lunch together. And those who stay over with us Sunday morning, it's a great full weekend. I want you to press your way. If you can drive, then please, by all means, get in a car and drive. And while you're driving, you can pray in the spirit. You can play some music. You can testify. You know. And if you are not driving, you can watch a movie. If you are driving, you can listen to a movie. But make it your way. I'm excited. Guys, be encouraged. Be encouraged. You know, one thing I know about God is the great I am. He is the I am that I am. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. He's all of that. You have got to know your God because God is still God. He's still on the throne, and God's got a plan because he's the man of plans. Plans began with him. And he said, I know the plans that I have for you, the thoughts that I think of you. Hallelujah, to do you good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. And so I'm excited about that, so do join us. If you haven't, if you've tried the hotel and you can't get through, you still do need to, you know, ring, ring, Prophet Ashley, and say, we need to get a room. And they're telling us your room block is full. A couple of you have reached out to me and told me that. So as far as I know, she's still opening it up and opening it up and opening it up. So we don't know how much. Oh, she says we're not opening it up a lot.
Yeah, because the hotel is filling up. There's a whole other event coming in. So
don't wait. We only have a little bit of space left, and I think they only give us that because we've been there like forever. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, so you definitely want to do it. Don't miss this. If time is changing for you. Some of you all are retiring. Others are getting packages off your job, and you're wondering what to do next. You know, what to do with my time? What am I going to do? Now I can serve the Lord, but goodness, what do I do? I've got X amount of years experience in this, and can God use that? Can God do anything with that? You want to come because you will get to see all the things that God can do with the end of your life that he saved. For such a time as this, you want to come. You want to meet other people who have found their place and join us. If you're just starting out in ministry, yes, you do. You want to meet this. I get a lot of young people, young families. You want to come and see how they're making it happen in God. And again, if you can't get the airfare, get a car. Get a bus. You know, hopefully one day Oklahoma get a train system. I'll be praying toward that end.
Pray,
because I'm going to tell you something. That train thing could help you out. That saves a little bit of money, not a whole lot, but a little bit. So, again, November 16th and 18th, Ambassador Clyde Rivers, Apostle Edgar Gonzalez, and Apostle Stephen Holt, as well as myself, we will have praise and worship by Prophet Ursula Wright out of Miami, Florida. You know the woman is an amazing, amazing praise warrior. I mean, when she steps up, it's powerful. We'll also have a special music with Minister Tony Mason, who I'm excited about having. So we're going to have a blast, and it's going to be a blast. So, hey, pack up. Bring some, you know, bring your faith, bring your prayers, bring your prayer list. Hallelujah. And if you got young ones, teens or something, bring them if you can. We are opening up to the body of Christ. Well, how did I do with that? Did I get on? Oh, my, come on, Jesus. You know, I'm in the middle of another writing project, so, you know, I got to shift my brain.
If they're coming to the Dignitary Center.
Oh, go ahead, say it.
You need to fill out that form tonight.
Tonight.
In the night. Because tomorrow I need to have a count.
Yes.
For the country club, and we need your money.
For the country club.
Not just your menu items.
Yeah. Well, but this is prepaid, so yeah. Don't say, oh, when I get there, I'll just pay at the door. Don't plan that, okay, because that's not going to work for this. That's why it's a Dignitary Dinner, see? Hallelujah. So we just want you to understand, we need you to tonight. If you're coming, if you're a leader or a trainer or, of course, an apostolic, prophetic person or minister, intercessor, you want to come. I'm telling you, this is something very rich that God is doing this year. I know it because I started this in 2000. And the first, you know, when God gave it to me, he gave it to me with this huge vision and all of that. And, of course, being as naive as saints were back then, I thought he was going to do it that day. Well, here we are coming up on 2016. We're finally getting this to do what I planned. You will love it. You will have opportunities to talk, sit with the leaders and speakers. You will love it. I promise you, this is not a come, sit, and listen to us, clap your hands, dance a little bit, and run on back home. This is not that kind of event. This is a totally interactive event. So I think I'm changing a couple of minds. I think I might be getting to some people. Hey, let us know tonight. Fill that form out. Go to my website, drpaulaaprice.com, for registration. And make sure you press your way. Again, I just feel the burden of the Lord to say, if you are retiring, many companies are about to offer packages to, you know, the people who've been there for a long time. Take those packages. God has a plan. Take your package. God has a plan. God is going to do some things with your freedom that he couldn't do before. And you're going to see a lot of your visions have a place to play out, which is why you want to connect with us. You want to connect with NEAR, New Era Apostleship Restitution. You want to connect with us because you have to have a place to plow. You know, we all want to plow by ourselves, but, you know, I've got to give you the word of the Lord. You've got to have a place to plow. You can't just take and buy your farming equipment, get your seeds, and just walk on any piece of land and sow it and plow. You've got to have a place to plow because you have to hold. Because you have to have a right to the harvest. And without a place to plow, you don't have a right to the harvest. So many of you all are working somebody else's land for them, and that is not the place where God told you you were going to receive your harvest. Some of you all just decided God told you to go over here. You didn't like that ministry. You didn't like how they spoke. They weren't cute enough. The people weren't thin and plastic enough for you. You know, they just didn't do it for you. But that's where your harvest was. And, you know, to go to a finished work is no challenge. And you only hide out in a finished work when you're finished working for God. Is that good? Was that good? I think that was good. See, when you have a vision, you have to recognize you need to go where a vision can be cast and fulfilled. Some of you all are sitting on the sidelines, sitting on the side. I don't understand. God called me to ministry so-and-so years ago, and I've been in this church all those years. He didn't say I called you to a church. I called you to ministry. And then others, he called you to a church, and you don't want to do anything. You want to go there. You got a family. You're down and say, I got children. I got family. God has a family, too. He got to keep all the time. I got a husband. I got a wife. You got all of this, and you're frustrated on the inside because the harvest that you should have is going to the person who's in the place you should have been. Does this help any of you? Because some of you are frustrated because you have been plowing, plowing, and plowing in a place where you don't have the right to harvest. You don't have a right to harvest because it wasn't your land. You did not legitimately have a right to that land. You were not properly engaged to use that land. The agreements and covenants for you to withdraw from that land did not exist. If you have it in your mind, I'm going to retire, and I'm going to go over here and help this little church that I've been seeing and whatever, make sure that's the plow, the place you need to plow. Because a lot of people put their hand to the plow, put the plow in the wrong place. Huh. I know I'm speaking to somebody tonight. So you plowed and you worked well and somebody else got your harvest. And then you got frustrated and you walked away bitter and angry and broke. But all the money I sold in that, did God tell you that was your plow land? Because God gives you a harvest on where he has contracted for you to plow. Jesus had a real plan from God. There were places that he could not go. When he got to the planet, the word of God told him, I mean, he's operating the word of God, but the word of God told him, do not go to the Gentiles. It is not their time yet. And so he could only plow where God had given him a place. Some of you went to a place that you should not have plowed. Some of you went plowing in a place that God was done with. And you didn't seek the face of the Father to find out whether or not he was done with it. You went to some church that was in a sunset, and God was trying to send you to somebody's sunrise. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Isn't this good stuff to know? See, I'm not telling you to make a decision right now. All I'm doing is giving you factors that you should consider when you go to prayer and start to seek God. Most of us pray, but because we are so programmed to the traditional prayers that we've been praying, we don't know how to ask God the right questions because you don't even know them. And so when God gives you an, oh, come on, somebody, God, oh, come on, sugar, man, oh, Lord Almighty. Mm. So when God starts giving you answers to questions that you A, didn't ask, and B, can't understand, and C, have no place to fit, it's because you don't know the question. And he's answering what he's done, not what you're asking, because that's not what pertains to what your conversation is about. So God has to work the questions in you, because you want to pray what that preacher told you to pray last week. You want to pray what the song said. My favorite song says, seek him while they're yet dying, and all of that. You want to pray what your friend said. You want to pray the intercessors thing. You want to pray the church prayer list. All of that's fine. There is nothing wrong with that. But that's not going to put you in your plow land. David was a smart man. After years of working for God and working in God, and I mean God will put you through crazy. But David, when he came back, his last prayer, he always said, should I do it? When should I do it? And will I win? You never ask God where the plow land was. So God had a harvest for you, but you weren't there to get it. So he had to go with plan B. So many of you all, plan B is walking around feasting on your harvest because plan A was absent. Okay, come on. I don't know who I'm speaking to tonight, but I hear God saying to you, you've got to plow it right now. Some of you all plowed in a big ministry that had all of the plowers that they needed. All of the rows were done. The vineyard was planted. It was neatly manicured. It was all worked out. And you know what? You went in and joined your little weak little plow in that great big work, and you got zipped. You barely got a grape. Forget the fruit of the Spirit. You barely got a grape. Here's why. We like to preach it, but we don't comprehend it. The Lord Jesus, in the word of God, as the word of God, as Yahweh said, despise not the day of small beginnings. But because you all have so despised the day of small beginnings, because you want to enter into somebody else's harvest, oh, hallelujah, that you missed the opportunity to create something amazing in the planet. And to have it in your name, to have it grow, to have it thrive, and to be the solution to someone else. You miss those opportunities chasing the glitz and the glamour. You miss those opportunities chasing feelings and experience. You know, God is still God. He has got to do business every day. God must occupy every creature he lets remain on his planet. And he's not making it up as he goes along. So I want you to think about this. You put your hand to the plow and you drew back nothing. And then the reapers of the field you plowed came and got that harvest and took it and never looked back at you and told you they'd contract you next week, next year, next season. And you went back year after year, plowing, bagging, sowing for them to reap, and you got nothing because it wasn't your plow land. I have never taught this like this before, but I hear God saying they're arguing with me because they chose their plow land, a land that God had already covenanted the harvest to someone else. You're going to have to find out. Yeah, many of you picked up that plow, the gospel plow, but before you got into that, you needed to ask God, is this your season and is this your land? Because even in God, there are seasons that he just wants you to learn, first to hear, then to listen, then to heed, then to learn. You know, when I do my class on prophecy timetable, you know, the prophecy timeline, we go through that. Your prophecy timeline is important, and you've got to know it. So I'm not giving that to you tonight. You'll have to wait till Thursday. But we will go over tracking your prophecy in God. But tonight it's about praying prayers that God can answer. God hears a lot of prayers. He listens to a lot of mess. He filters out a lot of stuff. But God answers what he's working on. Oh, hey, did somebody get that? You know that's good. Did you hear that? You hear that, Prophet Ashley?
I hear you, Doctor.
All right.
That's good.
See, God answers what he's working on, not what you want him to do. Well, God said, the scripture said he'll give us the desires of our heart. Yeah, when he's ready to work on it. When it comes up on his tax list, his tick sheet, he's going to give you that if that's what you pray for, which is why you have to keep pushing through, because God has people praying and pulling on his resources nonstop. Part of why we are confused about the Lord goes back to my favorite phrase, and that is we believe God is a sole proprietor. You believe God is a guy that just got started Earth Project with these humans and all of that. No, that is not the case. God cannot promise you to meet all your needs if he hasn't already acquired the provision. You pray to a God that you say owns heaven and earth, meets all your needs, and yet you still treat him as if he's going to answer your prayer by getting up off the throne and coming to your house. Jesus does not have to get up off the throne to come to your house. And do you know why? Because he got the Holy Ghost in your house right now. See, that portion of him that brought you into existence is with you today. So you can pray all of those kind of questions. Well, unless God himself do it. God's like, well, wait on it. Just wait on it. Because God... Listen, oh, help me get this out. Father God, pray for me. HaMashiach. Oh, come on. Come on. See, here's the thing. You want God as a human mortal to keep you employed and engaged and to use you and to keep you busy when you come into his service. Well, before he did that for you, he had to do that for those angels, those powers and principalities and powers and wickedness and righteousness and high places and all that. God has to occupy everybody, and their job is you. Because remember, Hebrews 1:14, the angels minister on behalf of the heirs of salvation. So God has an immense job. First of all, I tell him all the time, sweetheart, I'm so proud of you. I tell him all the time, oh, sugar Jesus, I'm proud of you. I am so proud of this man because when you come out of your little dark world and your dark perspective of who this massive being is, you realize he is masterful. I mean, even Walmart, which is impressive, and all of those global companies, they are still a mess compared to how efficient God is. And God has to see, they only have to work with what they employ. God has to work with all he creates. The light, the darkness, the good, the evil. Remember, he said the sun shines on the just and the unjust. God is good to the wicked and the righteous. You know, he has that. God has to call every shot and engage everybody. That gnat that messed with you last week, that God had to get that gnat something to do at that moment. Because if he didn't kill it, he had to engage it. Oh, I know. Isn't that something? Apostles are supposed to make you think differently about God, not differently about doctor. You're supposed to open up. Oh, we're supposed to open you up to God, make you know God, how he thinks, and what his world is like. And so in God's world, glory to Jesus, in God's world, he has to call every shot. I know it is wonderful that God knows who's going to win the NBA, but he also knows who's going to lose it, and he planned it that way. He knows what years that he's given each person their debt. See, that's big. That's big thinking. That's apostolic Christian thinking. And those are the kinds of classes you should have had so you'd know how to be there for God and how to back his play. Because right now the church does not know how to back God's play at all. And then you walk around talking about if you were God. You can't. We're trying to keep you to keep the job, keep your home, keep the rent paid, get children saved. And then keep them staying saved. And then want to stay in the church. And then want to serve the Lord. And then we don't even want to talk about sanctification and holiness. We don't have a clue about God's battles. Someone said to me not too very, very long ago about how we think. As apostolic Christians, we're always, always of the mindset of the monarch of creation who became flesh to make us like him. That's what apostolic Christianity focuses on. The monarch, the king of creation, the ruler of heaven and earth became flesh to make us like him, to beget us in him. That's a big, 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 big thing. Now, if you were a Bible study teacher, intercessor, whatever, you would be able to take that one statement and rummage through these scriptures for weeks and months on end to break the seal on it. The God of all creation put his son in a sperm and put the sperm in a woman at the exact time she happens to be ovulating. Although I believe it wouldn't matter, because if God decided it didn't matter, he's going to make it. And he tells his son, I need you to go to planet Earth. But I don't need you to go in a ship. I don't need you to go in a light. I don't need you to go in a blaze of glory. I need you to go as the most vulnerable thing you can be, which is a human baby, a mortal baby. That's what I need you to do. And here's why I want you to do that. Oh, huh. Tell me, God. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. My, what a mighty God. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, the God that freed us. Hallelujah. Amen. I had to get that out because I'm telling you, when you move into God's archives, they are the living word. That's why it affects you. It's a living word falling on a living soul, not on stone. So he puts Jesus. He puts Jesus in this womb. Well, we don't know, but God, of course, knew. Every being that would ever be born of God's Spirit was in Christ in that womb. Just like every baby, every being, a person, a man or woman will have is born in them as infants. But it took us, what, ages and ages and ages to get to that revelation. You know, and I always like to teach it. So God sends Jesus to the planet to embody the souls and the physical being of the people that Jesus carried in spirit form in his being. worship him, must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is spirit. So here's Jesus. This little baby boy is the vault of the entire ecclesia. Now, you know that's good. Because those babies that you gave birth to are the vault of your entire genealogy. That whole idea that babies come from heaven, that's crazy. Babies came from heaven once. All of them now are in seeds, there's in seeds, there's in seeds, there's in other seeds, there's in eggs, there's in eggs, there's in other eggs. The human body is the vault of every generation. Well, I bet that spoke to a couple of you all, didn't it? So here Jesus comes, and he comes to the planet. Why? Because his job, his task is to give eternal life, to swap. This is a swap. He is literally switching out the spirit of doom, and he's putting in the spirit of life so that you can live forever like him. That is what salvation is. It's not your church song. It's not your having a wonderful time with the saints. All of those are the benefits of salvation. And we, as God's teachers and leaders, need to separate the benefits of salvation from the business of redemption. Because we have lost sight of the business of redemption while we're playing with the benefits of salvation. So the business of salvation is to bring God's family home. Anybody with me on that? That's the business of redemption. Bring God's family home. That's God's business. God sends you into all the world to be a part of bringing his family home. In this book, in this book is how you get home. Hallelujah. And it's important for you to understand that God wants to bring you home. And he couldn't bring you home in your old form because that can't travel. It can't break the time-space continuum, let alone break the heaven-to-earth barrier. You know, when we try to get in space, we need a spaceship. You know, we need special gifts. You know, we need uniforms or what do you call them, outfits, et cetera. We need a lot, don't we, to get home. Now, in this book, we love this book. Isn't this a wonderful book? ABCs of Apostleship. You can get it online, drpaulaaprice.com. And you can get it in print and in soft copy. So if you want to start reading tonight, download it. Page 138. The primary reason Jesus came to earth was to beget, not just get, God's long-awaited family that was hid in him. Bringing us home again to his Father was the Messiah's secret mission. Only this time, he will present us not as seeds buried within himself, but as fully formed, everlasting human citizens of his kingdom. In Romans 8:19, Paul dubs this populace the manifest sons, children of God. To win our whole selves back to the Father, Christ had to show up on earth in the flesh to save that which was lost. You might ask, to whom were we lost? The answer is, we were lost to Jesus Christ and his Father because Adam sold his descendants in exchange for deity status. Trillions of lies resided in Adam when he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. His rebellion killed the immaterial life of every seed God had deposited in him. Consequently, his seemingly insignificant transgression condemned his children's souls to hell. It took the cross, the grave, and the resurrection to reverse what he did. See Romans 5:12-16 and Matthew 18:11. Through Calvary and the Lord Jesus' resurrection, God recovered Adam's lost generations. When Jesus redeemed their souls with his blood, it freed the Godhead to turn its attention to expanding their invisible realms to accommodate all those who come to God the Father through his Son. to fulfill their promise of eternal life, ethereal and literal preparations had to be made to receive the family soon to be resurrected and raptured from the earth. The entire ordeal will amount to a vast immigration from one world to another when it happens. Isn't that powerful? See, we have brought this thing down to doctrine, good deeds, charitable deeds. We brought it down to being nice to each other, and we brought it down to just feeling good about ourselves. Let me tell you something. Christianity, you don't always feel good about yourself. And it takes years for you to feel good about yourself all the time, like decades, because you and God are always boxing, fisticuffing. You're always slipping, falling. He's picking you up. You're falling in the mud. He's getting you up, putting you through the blood, and it keeps going on. So that's it can't be about that feeling. But Christianity is about God the Father's dream of having a populace, having offspring from every realm, every world he created, because that's how God he is. He wants to show himself strong on earth. He wants to show off. So God wants to give his eternal life to those who were in Christ before the foundation of the world. It's difficult, people. It's difficult for you to appreciate God if it comes down to what church preaches what. See, those are the benefits of redemption or benefits of salvation. But the business of redemption is that you must be in Christ. You must be born again. You must be born from above. You must have the Holy Spirit on the inside. For if you have not his spirit, you are none of his. You can have God's word. You can have God's doctrine. You can even have God's blessings and providences. You can have all of that. But if you're talking about living forever, you can only do it by the spirit that cannot die. Hallelujah. You have to understand that. You can only live forever by the spirit that cannot die. That's the part. We want to live forever in our clay vessels when nothing on earth lives forever. Nothing. We got cars that cost $250,000. And don't you know, when that time comes, that thing will be a piece of rusty junk. And you know why? Because it was made from doomed materials. The earth is corrupt. It's built into the dirt. It's built into the water. It's built into the atmosphere. It's built into the air. It's built into the universe. God says, the angel says to Job in Joel 4 that the heavens are not pure in his eyes. What do you think he's saying? He's saying that your universe that y'all think is all that is not, which is why I have a new heaven and a new earth in reserve. And when the people who are supposed to populate it have reached the number that I had in my son before I said, let up, when they're ready, then everybody else is going to have to. God can't take us with them because you can't survive as well. Half of you all can't survive being around a Christian. How you want to be around God's wall forever? I mean, you don't like Christians. Half of Christians that don't like Christians mean that they don't want to live. What they're saying is, I don't want to live with Christians. But if you don't want to live with Christians here, when you can escape us, you certainly don't want to live in God's world where there are no non-Christians. We act like when we get to heaven, oh, somebody hear me, right? Y'all hear me out there? We act like when we get to heaven, we'll somehow or another fall in love with Christians that we have hated all our days. You won't. But don't worry about it. You'll never have to act on that hatred because it won't make it. It can't travel. So when God is done with this world, he's turning it over to the God that won it in the contest. Because he said, I have a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And we have taught this thing to you so allegorically and so parabolically that nobody has made you think about the reality of it being the case. It is true. Yeah, it doesn't take much for you to realize that if an angel shows up, y'all gonna be laid out on the floor. We don't even need Jesus to show up. Just let the angel show up. Everybody's laid out. Then there was an angel in that corner and was full of glory. And I'm telling you, I was so trembling. My body was trembling, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and that's an angel. That is not their maker. When Jesus shows up and you can continue to stand, it's because he's hiding the glory. Like he hid it until they got on the Mount of Transfiguration. We think that because Jesus came and became flesh, he lost all his glory. No, the properties of his Father and his divinity were not compromised. They were not. You know, the resurrection story, we only peaceway tell that thing, and we do all right. So I'm not just not put down. But let me tell you, the resurrection story negates one piece, and that is that God had to take in his own glory from Jesus Christ and replace it with mortality in order for him to die. That's what Gethsemane was all about. Somebody needs to tell the Gethsemane story the way it really should be told. Those blood, that blood, when it said he was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, and we're like, well, that's allegorical. No, it wasn't. That was the glory departing, like it departed from Adam. And the mortality replaced his immortality, at which point he could feel pain and he could bleed. Because if he was going to be a savior, he could not have drops of blood from cuts and scrapes, etc., all over the planet. Oh, somebody going to hear this today. Ooh. Hey, did I mess with you? Come on, tell me. Periscope, did I mess with you? You know, when you have these pictures of Jesus being all human and whatnot, he could not bleed one day before it was time for his skin to be broken. And his skin couldn't be broken until God took his glory and gave him full mortality. That's what Gethsemane was all about. It wasn't just, Lord, if you could let this, because he wasn't saying this like, wow. He was saying, he was feeling, come on, people, hear me. My. He was in there, and it was time for him to fulfill the reason he came. He came to earth to bleed and to die. So he's walking around. He is the great I am. You can't touch him. Devils can't touch him. People can't hurt him. You can't pierce him. They tried to kill him. The man went invisible on several occasions. And in other times, he just shakes it, determined for somebody else. It says it right there in the word, but you know what? We're so busy trying to prove that God was so like us every day that we miss that his daddy was the maker of the same Adam who was invisible until he ate from the tree. I love teaching the Bible. I really do. It's a wonderful thing. So in the very way that Adam lost his glory and took on the law of sin and death and took death into his body, so did Jesus in Gethsemane. And the blood was a sign for all of those who didn't understand that he was no longer the invincible Messiah. He had just been transformed into the sacrificial lamb. Time for him to be slain. What a story. Is that good or is that good? So now, when you see why we have, he arose, see, Jesus could not bleed a day before that first hit. He could not bleed a day before that night because his blood had to be shed in the assigned place. His plow place was the cross. It was Calvary. It was on Golgotha Hill. He had to bleed there. He could never bleed anywhere else. See, some of you all, you're bleeding in the wrong place. Your sacrifice is being given where it can't be acknowledged. I got breath. You know, I got to shade a bow, guys.
Thank you.
Shade a bow. HaMashiach. Adonai. Isu. Thank you, King Jesus. What a great and mighty God. See, you, the story that got you to this day from your mama's womb is that story. That is your living hope. And the only reason that, you know, I heard somebody say Jesus did not come to die. If he wanted to get in hell, he had to, because living folk wasn't going to hell. Dead people were. And if he didn't go to hell, why sing he arose? So what did he do? Just take a 3-day nap and some cloth and gauze? But he had to go where everybody who was under the law of Moses, under the Noah covenant, under the Abrahamic covenant, all the way back to Adam, he had to go where they all were. And if he couldn't pull them out, you don't have a hope. See, we stop preaching the gospel and we start preaching culture. So you know more about other gods and deities than you know about the God that destroyed them. But our God, I want you to just say it up there, write it for me. But our God. Come on, just say, but our God. Huh. But our God. See, I can stay saved because I don't have questions about my salvation. I don't have questions. I don't have concerns. I don't doubt. Are you kidding? I'm like, first of all, this thing is so awesome that it will take my lifetime and the lifetime of all of my disciples to get my peace out. Because this is a good thing. And by the time we get it out, it's time for us to start it all over again. A whole new crop will have been born. So he had to do that for you and I to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Why must you believe? Why is it so important to believe? Because the thing that was the contest at the tree, whose report will you believe? Whose God will you receive? That was the problem. And so God's still dealing with that inverted belief system. Now, I'm excited because God gave me a powerful revelation, which I will not share. I'm saving it for a woman's deliverance night I'm having here in Tulsa in December for healing and delivering women. And there is a revelation that God gave me. I'm telling you, sisters, my sisters, baby, I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God and by the word that he gave me, you want to be free. If you're anywhere in the Tulsa area in December, and it's going to be on my website shortly, you need to come because I'm going to set my sisters free, all my sisters. And no, we're not periscoping, okay? Just want to let you know, I'm telling you, and it's not a high cost. If you can make your way, it's going to be a Friday night and a Saturday afternoon. That's it. Might have something Saturday night. I might let y'all just run around happy. But I'm telling you, I don't care what happened to you. I don't care who you are. I'm going to let you know what happened to Eve and what she did to womanhood and how God never bought the lie. I'm going to tell you some things that have not been said. You know, the Bible said that when you get close to God and he really falls in love with you, he opens his mouth to utter to you things that have been kept secret since the foundation of the world. I am so excited. I was sitting at my table Saturday morning, and I was listening to the Bible, and all of us, all of a sudden Saturday morning, and then God stopped that thing in time, and he said, but this is what I want you to know. He said, now I'm sending you to free my daughters. God said, I am sending you because I can trust you. He said, I'm sending you to free my daughters. And I'm telling you, my sisters, I don't care what bring your mom, it's all about the sisters. It's all about the daughters of Jesus Christ. That is what this is going to be about. This revelation, I promise you, will change you forever. But anyway, that was an aside. Wasn't that an aside? But I did, and I shared it with my daughter, and I shared it with Prophet Ashley and Boyd, and then I had to just go lay down because it was so overwhelming. I was like, oh, Jesus, this is pretty hefty. Because when the truth comes to you, the truth is weighty. And I don't mean unpleasantly so. I was so thrilled. I said, God, I've been waiting. I've been asking you this question for like 35 years. I finally hear from you. No, I'm not going to talk about it at my summit. Don't ask me because I'm not going to do it. I know my family. My family, they're going to be trying to catch me on the side, slip me notes. And I know you guys, and I'm not answering it. But I so want my God. No, God said it. This is not about me. God said, I want my daughters free, and I want them free to answer my call to fulfill their ministry. He said, but I also want them free to prosper in ministry. You know, it's very hard for a woman in ministry to prosper. You know, it's extremely difficult because this piece of information was not known. And it was hard for you to even believe that God was going to call you. But God, sugar pie, Jesus. You know, he's a honey man. I tell you, he's a sweet God. We serve the best God. And this whole idea that God has issues with women, I'm telling you, I'm getting ready to blow that devil out of the water. I'm telling you that. I'm that sure. And you know, yep, but you know, I want you to recognize that when we do it, then we'll have a massive healing and deliverance for my sisters. And we're going to send you home ready to do what God called you to do in grace, in peace, hallelujah, in submission. This is not about you going home, tearing up your marriages and carrying on. Please don't do that, honey, because let me tell you something. That stuff looks good on TV. It feels bad in life. That looks real good on TV, but it feels real bad in life. Because, see, on TV, you're watching them feel the consequences. In life, you are living that. So this is not about that. This is about setting the captives free and helping God's daughters, whom he is ready to use mightily in this hour, stand up on their own identity. Let me tell you something. There's a legacy for the women of God and a heritage that has been hidden from us since time began. Am I speaking to anybody? Are my daughters listening? You all listening to me out there? Because I'm doing it in December because God told me that you got to take it into the new year. So this is a 2016 readiness program for you to go into the new year and prosper. That's what this is all about. So you're going to have to go to my website. We'll be talking about it a little bit. I will announce it at my event. I will continue to talk about it. If you can't make it, I understand, but understand this. That's not about that. It's not even about that. Afterwards, we will probably do some sort of we're going to record it and probably have something. We don't know. But if I am going to deliver, I'm going to lay hands. See, some of you all don't know. I walk in a lot of power. And you could ask my team. A lot of power. And I have enormous ability for deliverance and healing. You know, and I know that sometimes when you say that, you know, we get the quacks and the crazies come out. Trust me, we didn't have them too. And I realized that this works. This Jesus and this Holy Ghost really did receive all power in heaven and earth. And he gave a good measure of it to me. And he gave a good measure of it to you too, for you to use. But I want to tell you, sisters, can I talk about my sisters? I never wanted to do women's ministry. Now, you know, women don't. I never wanted, but see, you know, I gave God a list of 10 things. You know, I had a don't ask me to ever do list with God. So far, he has already made me do 11 of them. So there we go. Have this list. God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I mean, I had a list. And, you know, God didn't care. But I realized that I had nothing to give my sisters that I myself had not partaken of. You know, people want to know, why are you strong? What makes you strong? What makes you comfortable? What makes you confident? Trust me, what you think it is not that. But I'm willing to share it with you. And when my sisters come next week, oh, yeah, I'm going to bless y'all next week. Y'all can get a foretaste. You know, we don't use that much any longer. But, you know, I'm bringing back a whole lot of words that we forgot because they were Jesus' words. They just took Jesus' words off. But you can get a foretaste of what God is going to do, because we are going to set the captives free. I had to stop and say that, Ashley. I had to. Hallelujah. When did you?
Yes. Can you also mention lunch with Dr. Price tomorrow?
Oh, how could I? Yeah. Listen, you know, I've had a lot of requests and questions about Apostolic Christians and Apostolic Christianity, and many of you have joined, got on board the train, you've joined it, but you don't know what to do next, and you don't know where to go, and if your church isn't teaching it, you're like, okay, so I'm stuck. So what I am doing is I'm having lunch with you tomorrow. It'll be noon my time. So therefore, it'll be whatever it is everybody else's time.
Central time.
My time is central. I'm central. Yes, I'm central time. And so we're going to have 1 hour for Apostolic Christians Lunch with God. We're going to talk. I'm going to answer your questions. I'm going to give you some strategies. I'm going to tell you what to do if there's no apostolic church in your area. I'm going to tell you what to do if you want your church to flip over to apostolic Christianity. We're going to spend that time together. There is no charge at all. It's us, me and you. And we're going to talk about over lunch. And so if I sound like I'm eating a piece of something, just forgive me. I'll try not to speak with my mouth full of food. But it is lunch, and I'm looking forward to it. Prophet Ashley, tell them how to do it.
Yes, this will not be broadcast,
no broadcast.
On Periscope. It will not be broadcast on Facebook. You have to be on our mailing list, and I know many of you are because you have already RSVP'd saying you are going to be there to receive the contact information for this broadcast, because we will have the ability to stream you, Dr. Price.
Yes.
Audio and video.
You will.
As,
okay, so I'll be streamed.
Yes, so you'll be both. They'll be able to listen and watch if they're able to do so. This will not be over Blog Talk Radio.
No.
Either. You have got to be on our mailing list. Prophet Adia will send out probably one more blast either late tonight or early tomorrow morning.
Or both.
Or both. For you to RSVP. If you already have, don't do it again. I mean, you don't have to, because you are already on the list to receive the information. But if you have not, you can go to www.drpaulaaprice.com. Now, you have to make sure you opt in to the mailing, which I believe does automatically when you sign up. But if you opt out, then you will not receive our blast emails. You only receive individual ones. Sometimes people don't understand that. If you opt out of getting our emails, then you're not getting our emails. Why you're not getting our email. So make sure you do that.
Well, what I'm looking forward to, we're going to have a blast. It will only be an hour, and you all know me. I don't take an hour and 15 minutes and blame the overtime on God. It will be an hour. And, you know, I don't have five closings and say, okay, I'm wrapping it up. You know, I do it with some of my friends, and I often do it with my church just because I want them to remember that we are still Christians. Hallelujah. So, again, we're running out of time. Tomorrow, 12 Central, have lunch with me. Find out about being and prospering as an apostolic Christian. We are getting, and we have something powerful planned for you, the top of 2017. So we're leading into that. So we want to do that. If you have not reserved your spot for the Dignitaries Dinner on November 16th here in Tulsa, do that. And please don't ask us for credit and pay later and whatever. We
don't
can't.
Show up at the door.
We can't do that.
Get in.
No. Well, we won't have food for you, baby.
It's all seated.
Right. Yeah, sit down. Yeah, you're right. It is sit down. So you don't want to do that. Let us know. Don't sneak in and say, I was surprising you. We probably won't be surprised. We probably won't. All right, Cookie. See, she jumped in on me this week. Last week, she didn't bother us. So make sure you do that. And again, don't miss this summit. If you need God to move, touch, bless, release, empower you, come. This power here amazes us at how much power and how much God's strength he has here in the praise and worship, in the teachings, etc. Well, it's time for me to say goodnight. I finally come down to almost what? Because he wants me to hang up. She's going to hang up in a minute. All right, Periscope, I love you. Facebook, I love you. I need you both. And Blog Talk, whew, my God. Please, let's stay one, and let's make this thing shake the nations. We can do it together as one. And when we talk tomorrow, I'll tell you how. God bless, and good night. How many were? Wow. Yeah, that was high. But, you know, when we thought. Uh huh. Really enjoyed. Bye, girl.